faith, and we're going to ask you to turn to Hebrews 4 and 2. All right? And I'm just wondering, have you ever wondered why some people profit or benefit from the word of God and others don't? Have you ever wondered that? Why is it that some people can profit and benefit from the word of God and others don't? And then you look at, because it's the word of faith that's being released. Catch this. The word of faith is being released into the atmosphere, and we have to value that word. We have to believe that that word is speaking directly to us, amen, in order for us to be able to benefit or profit from the word of faith. Come on. It's not the word of Pastor C and Pastor V that's being released from the pulpit. It's the word of faith that is found in the word of God that we are teaching that will change and transform your life. Amen. Are you at Hebrews 4 and 2? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. It doesn't require a whole bunch of jumping, shouting, and screaming, so we can stand. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We're going to keep the activity in the atmosphere moving. Amen. It says, "For," and I'm reading, I believe, the NIV version, or this one is the King James version. There we go. "For unto us was the gospel preached." Come on, the gospel's being preached. It says, "as well as unto them." Come on, so it's preached to us and it's preached to them. "But the word preached did not profit them." Why? Come on, why? It says, "it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Come on. All right. The NIV version says, "for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us." Come on. If you're us, raise your hand. Getting the good news every day. It says, "just as they did." Watch this. "But the message they heard," listen to this, "was of no value to them." Okay, we already teaching. It was of no value to them because they did not share the faith, come on, or have the same faith as those who heard it and obeyed.
Look at that, look at that.
It had no value to them. We leave Living Waters with the value of the word of faith that was released, knowing that if we heard it, we're going to obey it, come on, and we're going to profit, come on, and benefit from the word that was taught.
So preaching has no value if it's not mixed with the hearing of faith.
That's it. Got it.
So many of us love church because we like hearing good sermons, mm-hmm. but good sermons won't change nothing in your life if you don't grow up in faith to apply the words that you've heard. Amen. All of us love to have a good sermon, and we've been sermonized to death. But yet now it's time to begin to apply faith to the words that have been proclaimed to us so that we can see those words begin to profit in our own individual lives. Many people have dropped out of church not because they didn't hear a good sermon, but because they didn't understand how faith works.
Yes.
How faith works. So some heard it and it worked for them.
That's it.
Had value.
Value.
Some heard it and it didn't work because it didn't have value. It's the same word, but the word is the same, but the conditional term that we have to deal with is what type of faith are you applying, or how much faith do you have for the word that you're hearing?
Yes.
That's why we're talking about the value of faith today, because you see, if you got just a little bit,
just a little,
Jesus says, if you got the size of a mustard seed, you see, you don't even have to have a lot. If you apply the little bit, it begins to grow in your life. Amen. How many of you have ever overcome anything in your life?
Amen.
You understand? That's the faith that you need to overcome the next thing in your life.
Yes.
That same faith that you overcame the last obstacle with is the same faith you need to overcome this obstacle with. But this obstacle seemingly is larger because, hey, you got enough faith to already get started. And so now when you attack it, you might have a little bit of fear early on. You might look at it and say, man, this is an insurmountable hill.
Right.
But if you step back and look at that last thing.
Look at the last.
And say, man, I didn't know that I could get over that. Yes. But man, by grace and by God and by faith and by the power of his word, if I got over that devil, what is this little devil standing before me now? Come on, give God a praise for the obstacle that's in your life right
now. Good. Baby, that takes us right into the second scripture, because yes, there are going to be obstacles. Yes, there are going to be fiery darts. Come on, that the enemy is going to throw our way. But now flip to 1 Peter 1:5-7. And just shout amen once you're there.
Go ahead and take a seat. I need y'all to write this stuff down. We're going to be right here all day.
Amen.
Not all day, literally.
All day.
Not all day, literally.
My church all
day. For the next 40 minutes and 58 seconds.
Yes, write down 1 Peter 1:5-7, and I'm going to read that version as well. Amen. It says, who, and this who is representing us, the believers of Christ. Amen. How many of you believe he died, come on, was buried, and raised again? Then this scripture is referencing us. It says, who through faith, watch this, are shielded. Come on, we value that which protects us. Come on, the faith becomes our shield. It says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Come on. So how many of you are going through something right now? Come on. You feel the heat. You feel the pressure. You feel a trial of some sort. Then verse 7 says that these have come. What? These trials have come. This pressure has come. So that the proven genuineness of your faith, come on, which has a worth greater than gold. Come on, which perishes, even though gold is refined by fire, it still perishes. It says you go through to prove the genuineness of your faith, which may result in praise, come on, glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So what we're going through, let me just drop this commercial break. It's not for us. It's not for us. It's for the glory. I'm reading the word. It's for the praise and it's for the honor of Jesus Christ, whom God sent to us to deliver and save us. Amen. So our genuine faith, write down genuine faith, is more valuable than gold. Come on. Gold, according to this scripture, is tested and refined by fire. So we're comparing faith to gold. That's what this scripture is doing. Gold is tested and refined by fire, the heat, the pressure, the trials of life that we go through, all right? But it still perishes. It can be here today, on your finger today, and gone tomorrow. Somebody can steal it and take it, and it will be, come on, a thing of the past. So gold is here today, and gold can be gone today. So let's look at our faith, which is also tested. Which is also tried by the fire.
That's right.
But it doesn't perish or fade away. Amen.
That's right.
Neither does it lose its worth. Instead, what happens to our faith when it's put under such heat and fire and pressure? Come on. It builds for us, you have to catch this, a shield of faith. That Ephesians 6:16 says that this shield of faith, that all of our trials, trial number one, come on, begins to build trial number two. I'm still exposed. God says she ain't shielded yet. Trial number three, make me step out on my faith again. Trial number four begins to cover my backside. Trial number five begins to go down a little lower, because every trial and tribulation that we go through is gradually creating for us a shield. Somebody shout shield. Now, how many of us want to embrace our trials a little bit better and differently now?
You understand, when we go through something, faith like gold is purified by the fire.
That's right.
Nobody wants gold that has no value because it's so polluted with a whole bunch of other impurities.
That's right.
When you buy it, you want to look at it and you want to make sure it's 24 karat. You understand? You're trying to get the purest gold that you can find. When God look at our life, he's trying to find the purest faith that he can find in the earth realm. And so what happens is he sends us through the fire. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I just said to you. He sends us through the fire. Yeah. You've been giving the enemy credit for stuff that he does not. The enemy does not want you to be refined.
No, he doesn't.
The enemy does not want you to be polished. The enemy does not want you to be perfected in your faith and in your faith walk. Mm-hmm. And so if it was up to the enemy, he wouldn't really send you through trials.
That's it.
Because
that's
the it. Enemy knows something that you don't. The Come trying on. Of Come your on. Faith Come produces on. A greater
yes,
character,
yes,
produces
yes.
a greater likeness
yes.
to God in your life.
Yes.
And so the enemy would keep you out of trials
yes.
so that he could keep you complacent.
That's good.
You understand? And the enemy would keep you in a place of where everything is just standard and status quo
yep.
so that it don't move you to go to the left or to the right.
Yes.
And so you wouldn't mess with him and you wouldn't mess with God. But God says, no, I need to shift you every
yes.
now and
yes.
then. And I need to put
yes.
you through fire. And in this fire, instead of complaining about how hot it is.
Come on.
If you understood what I'm doing for
Let
you,
it
would be in this moment
yes.
that your praise would reflect my
yes.
glory. It would be in
yes.
this moment where you would show
it.
My honor.
Yes.
And it's in this moment. How many of you going through something right
come
now?
On.
This is the place of
come
God
on.
Working in your life.
Yes, it is.
He's trying,
yes,
to,
it
he's
is.
Trying to refine something
yes.
in you.
Yeah. Elder Ray, come up here. Hmm. This is why, if you don't mind dropping
go
to the floor, because this is what the enemy
watch that
is doing.
Now.
Come on up here. I'm going to watch you. I needed somebody else. Minister, I don't want you dropping and falling too hard. Minister John, come on up here. So the enemy doesn't want your faith shield to be built or established. But Ephesians 6:16 says that this shield of faith is designed to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So he don't want you to believe that you can, that you have a God, come on, with enough power to bring you out of your trial and tribulation, because he don't want your faith shield to be built and established and to cover you. He just wants to throw his fiery darts of fear, come on, so that it will get no shield, drop down, John. It's going to permeate you. Fear. Come on. Darts of doubt. Darts of frustration. Come on. He's hitting you with various darts.
Why is this?
Because
this?
There's no faith shield around you, because we don't want to go through nothing. I want to go through a little something so that I would have an opportunity or a reason to believe God. Come on. That he who sits on the throne with Christ on the right hand has power and authority. Come on. I can't bring myself out, but oh my God, I know somebody who can, and I need opportunities to make me depend, Mother Louise,
huh.
on the true and the living God, who is not dead, but he is yet alive.
Huh.
And he's still moving in the earth realm.
Still moving. Look at this. Look at this. Put the word back on him. The word becomes that shield. The word becomes that cloak
shield.
That you're describing. He looks like he's down in the natural.
Yes.
It looks like the enemy is winning because he's on his back. But even on his back, there's something that's preceding him and is protecting him. It doesn't matter what your position is, if the word is the oppressor.
Keep the word.
He might hit you with his best shot,
but
he can't get to what he's really after. He's after your life, but the word is a shield over your life.
Wow.
He got you on your back and your body. You experience the sickness. You experience the pain. You experience the frustration. But you got a greater standard over you. And the word
That's
is
it.
The word
That's
is
it.
Holding back what the enemy really wants to do.
Wow.
And so when the word is in us.
Come on.
When the word is over our life.
The word
when the
faith.
Word is above us.
Yes.
The word begins to lift up a standard.
The word of faith.
The word begins to stand us back upright. Hold this thing now in front of you. The word holds us. Until we can hold the word. Hold
That's
this.
Good.
Now when you begin to grasp the word for yourself, you don't need now this shield. You don't need that. You got everything you
the
need in faith. Because all you got to do, open that thing up right there. Open wherever you open it up to, there's a word in there that will repel the
word
enemy on your behalf.
Do you believe?
It'll repel the enemy. Somebody give God a faith praise real
Do
quick.
Do you believe?
Give him a faith praise.
Well, baby, I guess that's why it's called the word of faith.
The word of faith.
How do we combat the enemy? We combat him with the word of faith, the word that we believe. And it takes time to process all that's in this word.
Huh.
Hallelujah.
Look at that. When you talk about the work, mm-hmm. when we talk about the value of faith, one of the things we're talking about this morning is your faith has an eternal value.
Yes.
Your faith has an eternal value. It does not fade. It does not fade. Your faith has been working for you before you ever knew what faith was. Mm-hmm. Before you ever knew what faith was. Faith didn't wait for you to turn on before it was turned on.
That's right.
You see, oxygen didn't come in this room because you was coming. It was here whether you ever came in or didn't come in.
Yeah.
Faith is present whether you tap into it or don't tap into it. Mm. It's always active and it's always present. Mm-hmm. Faith was working while you were still sinning. Mm. Look at this. Let's look at some of the works of faith. Okay. When I talk about the work of faith or when we talk about it, we're simply talking about what faith can do.
All right.
What can faith do? What can faith do for you? You see the UPS commercial. What can Brown do for you? Brown can't do nothing, man. What can faith do for you? Amen. Let's talk about just quickly.
Yes.
And just write these down as we run through them. Some of the works of faith.
Amen. I have a couple. Write down, through faith we are justified.
Justification.
And underline justified. Right? Romans 5 and 1. I just want to say that God justifies us. All right? What does that mean? It means he makes excuses for us and our craziness. Yeah, how can you? You know, people say, how can you justify what he did? Y'all been there? Kid come home late. How do you, Elder Gale, how do you justify being 2 hours late? Son, how do you justify that? What you're asking them, what's their excuse for being late? And you're looking for a cause. Well, in the midst of our craziness, come on, it's saying when God justifies us through our faith, he makes excuses for us in our craziness. Isn't that good? Come on, what did we ever do to deserve? Come on, the life of eternal success and prosperity. But God says, because I love them. The best answer he could give is because they believe that my son died and was buried and raised from the dead. Come on, they are now a rewarder of them that diligently seek to please me. Huh. So that's his reason. That's his justification for where we are in life. Write this down, that is through faith we have gained access to God's grace. Whoo, somebody say, thank God for grace. Say it one more time. Thank God for grace. Write down Romans 5 and 2. Okay, so I have one question. How many grace babies do we have?
Wave your hand, grace babies.
That's about the whole church. You know you're a grace baby. You know, we know we don't deserve. How many of us know that had it not been for God's grace, we would not be where we are today? Just his grace, and we say his mercy. Write this down. Grace. Divine influence and assistance, which operates in humans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's divine. It operates. It's divine influence and assistance from God, which operates in humans to regenerate. Ooh, come on, y'all. You know you burn out. You know you get tired, but his grace keeps you going. Come on. It sanctifies, which means it cleanses us.
That's right.
It imparts strength to endure trials and tribulations, and God's grace allows us to resist temptation. Come on. Does anybody know that God's grace kept you out of something that you couldn't keep yourself out of?
Uh-huh.
You went somewhere. Oh, yeah. Come on, y'all. You intentionally got out the car, walked across the parking lot, went somewhere you know you shouldn't be. Okay. Hooked up with somebody you know you shouldn't have hooked up with. But God's grace kept you from enduring the temptation that the enemy was trying to ensnare you. That's his grace. Somebody ought to stand in there real quick, and 2 seconds, you all just thank God for his grace, for bringing you to the throne of grace, where he can give you the strength and the power to endure, even though you're not deserving of it. One more time, thank him for his grace.
When you talk about grace, not only is it the unmerited favor, not only is it him forgiving us for stuff that we know we are guilty of, but man, another thing about grace is grace deals with elegance.
Mm.
Grace, it's the simple elegance or refinement of movement. The simple elegance or refinement of movement. You see, when you're a grace baby, you don't look like what you go through. There's an elegance that God puts on you over here. If people could see what you went through, and if you look like what you went through, they wouldn't want to be involved with God. But His grace and has such an elegance on it.
Oh my God!
You in the same hell they in, but you don't look like where you are.
Oh my God! But somebody just need to walk in the grace. Come on, somebody just need to take a couple steps down your aisle. Uh-huh. Come on, just walk in the grace that you know that's over your life. Yeah. Hallelujah.
So look at somebody and tell them, you don't look like what you're in.
You don't look like what you're in.
Grace makes you look attractive because you're Christ's baby. He don't allow the world to shape your look. You see, you're created in His likeness. And so what grace does is, even at your lowest point, somebody can see Christ in you. They can see you. You're saying, man, you're asking me for help. And if you really knew where I am right now, I'm the one that needs help. But grace is on you.
Don't look like it.
Don't look like where we are, Pastor. Grace is on us.
That's why people don't think we ever go through anything. Because they say, but you look so good. Next time you can say, baby, it's just the grace.
Look at them and say, I'm graced for this.
It's just the grace.
I'm graced to go through this hell. That's what grace, the work of faith. Somebody say the work of faith. The work of faith, simple elegance. It brings out the elegance in you. Another thing that the work of faith, another quality of the work of faith is we're saved through faith.
Yes.
You see, that's one of the primary qualities of faith, right? Look at this scripture, Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace we are saved through faith.
Yes.
Look at the word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Yes. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So now, preaching requires faith, and salvation requires faith. Mm-hmm. Look at this. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift. You don't have to work for this thing. So some of you are working for something that's already given to you.
Yeah.
How many of you, if your job said, I'm going to give you a paycheck every week, and you ain't got to come in?
Nothing.
How many of you would still show up and say, no, I got to work for this?
Oh, baby. What did they say? No, baby.
That would no longer be a job. That would be a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You understand? You don't have to work for this thing. It's a gift that's already given to you. You got it. Look at somebody and say, you already got it. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God.
Good.
Not of works. There it is, right there in the word. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if you have more faith because you work for it, you'll tell people they lazy.
Yep.
Well, you get more faith than you just work harder, child. All you got to do is work harder, work harder, work harder. I work 24/7. God said, I ain't going to even let you put it on your own back.
Right.
I'm not going to even let you put it on yourself to say you got there because of something you did. Look at somebody and say, this faith is absent of your works.
This faith is absent of your works.
Now, faith does look at your works. But this faith we're talking about right here is absent of your work. The faith of salvation does not require your works.
Isn't that good?
But look at this. Look at this. Another thing about faith, another thing it does for us, it allows us to approach God with freedom and boldness.
Yeah.
You see, we don't have to come to God with fear when we come to Him in faith.
Yes.
It allows us to approach God with freedom and boldness. Ephesians 3:12 says this, in whom we have boldness and access.
Yeah.
Look at this, with confidence.
Yes.
By faith of Him. With confidence by the faith of Him. We don't have to go before God trembling and shaking and say, oh God, I'm in sin and I know you can kill me if you wanted to. And I know, God, you can take me out. No, get up out of that. That's false humility. That's false humility. That's outside of the way the word of God said for you to come to Him.
Right.
The word says, come before Him with boldness. So now you walk up on God and you say, God, here I am, just like you made me.
Just like you made me.
This dirt is in me. You put it there.
Yep.
You put it in me, and I'm trusting you to refine me or to clean me. I've seen what you do with dirt. I've seen you put dirt through heat and turn it into china.
Wow.
I seen you put dirt through heat and turn it into crystal glass.
Yeah.
I seen you take dirt and put it through heat and bring out great value.
Wow.
So God, I need you to work on the dirt
work
in
me. Work on me. Work
my
on me.
My dirt is my potential for my anointing.
Work on me.
If I ain't got no dirt.
Woo. Thank you for the dirt.
I don't have potential to increase in my anointing.
Jesus. We've been opening because of the dirt in our life, but I feel like we need to just praise God. Come on, because he put the dirt there. But we can see clearly now the purpose of the dirt. That.
He put that in me. He put that in me.
That's a good start.
To work
right there,
on something in me. That's my Ooh. Reminder.
Yes,
that
sir.
Man, when in my best days, I'm not like him.
Come on.
In my best days, in my most anointed state of mind,
Ooh.
On my most holy day,
my God.
I still got dirt in
still
me.
Still got dirt.
Because Ooh. I'm never going to be a finished work on this side of
Come
heaven.
Come on, babe.
God is going to be perfecting me until he brings me back with him.
Yes.
Look at somebody. You ain't never did this before, but give God a praise for the dirt in
I
you.
I hear you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see clearly now, God. I'm not moping and groping and sad and sorrowful. I'm celebrating you for my errors and my flaws. Come on. The haves and the have not. What I can and cannot do. Hallelujah. Woo!
Go ahead and take your seat.
That
man.
We praise gotta, right there, babe.
We got to go through this. We got to go through this.
Hallelujah.
So we can go to God with boldness and confidence.
Ooh, thank
Amen. According
you,
to the
Jesus.
Word, we don't have to hide our dirt because that's what he wants to work on. You understand? Mm. That's what he wants to work on. I just feel something
yeah.
right there. That's what he wants to work on. You trying to hide your dirt from God
Jesus.
When that's what he's after in your life.
Yes.
Look at this. It's by faith that we're righteous. You see, mm-hmm. he makes us righteous.
Mm-hmm.
he makes us righteous. It's by faith that we're righteous. The Bible says the righteous are the just. They live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Romans 1 and 17. I want you to take some scripture home with
yes.
you so you can work on your faith. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Romans 1, 17. For
yes.
therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Yes.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our righteousness in faith and our living in faith,
mm-hmm.
it comes through the word of God.
Yes, sir.
Romans 3, 21 through 23. Mm-hmm. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith.
Yes.
The righteousness of God, which is by faith. It ain't through what you do.
Yes.
You lift up your holy nose and you lift up your holy head and you look down on people all you want to, but baby, you still got dirt in your life like
yes.
they got in their life,
yes.
and you're not more qualified
yes.
than anybody. It's the word of God and the standard of God
yes.
that makes us righteous by faith.
Yes.
That's why we don't become so big in Christ that we begin to minimize
yes.
other people.
Yes.
We're standing on the platform so you can see, but
yes.
not because we're above you.
Yes.
I don't
yes.
care what our title is pastor, prophet, teacher. It don't matter who we are.
Right.
Your title don't make you more righteous
right.
than somebody else.
Come on. What we say, if Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, come on, and we are believers of that Christ, neither do we come to condemn the world, come on, but that the world through him, that the world through us, that the world through you might be saved from a life of sin, death, and damnation.
Huh.
Hallelujah.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all.
All. That's it.
And upon all. Unto all the crack addict.
Yes, yes.
Unto all the prostitute.
Yes.
Unto all the president of the bank.
Yes.
Unto all the president of the United States.
Yes.
Unto all, no matter what height you are or no matter what depth you are, it is unto all.
Unto all.
Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference.
No difference.
For all have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's right there in the word. All got dirt. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of you know faith is working even when you don't recognize it?
Yes.
How many of you really believe faith is working even when you don't recognize
it?
Faith is working. It is working on your behalf. But not only does faith work.
It does.
Faith works. How many of you believe faith works? We just gave you a couple of the works of faith, five or six of the works of faith. But not only does faith work, but faith also has great value, a great worth.
Yes.
Somebody say the worth of faith.
The worth of faith.
The worth of faith. The worth of faith. When we talk about the worth of faith, write this down. We're talking about the measure. We're talking about the value. We're talking about the quantity. And we're talking about the type.
Yes, Jesus.
You got to write this down. We're talking about the measure. You read in your Bible about the measure of faith. We're talking about the value. We're talking about the quantity. And we're talking about the type of faith. So when we look at this, the worth of faith, we're not going to stay here long. Pastor Vicky alluded to it earlier. Your faith has a greater value than the wedding ring on your finger.
Surely.
She said it's more precious than gold. Yep. Most of you, that white ring on your finger is made of gold. Yep. Your faith has a greater value than that chain around your neck.
Yeah.
Huh. Your faith has a greater value than those earrings in your ear.
Well.
Your faith is more precious than gold. Mm-hmm. Your faith has a greater value than that watch that you put on your arm. You see, we go and spend thousands of dollars for these ornaments. These things that hang on us, they're supposed to talk about the value that's in us. But if you don't put none of that on and you have faith, you have more value than two chains at any concert that he ever do.
Yes, yes. You better say so.
It don't matter if it's platinum. It don't matter what it is. He can't put enough chains around his neck to have more value than you.
Yes.
Look
at
somebody say, my value is not in what I put on, but it's what's in me.
But it's what's in me.
Come on, give God a praise right there.
Hallelujah.
The worth, the worth, the worth. Your faith has a greater value, but it has to be refined. It has to be refined. And so you have to go through trials to get this faith worked out in us.
Yes.
But most of us, even as believers, we really, if we tell the truth, don't like going through trials. I'm going to lift my hand first.
Truthfully.
I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand since you won't.
Come on.
I don't like going through stuff, but I understand when I do.
When I do.
God is taking me to another dimension beyond where I'm complacent at now.
Yes.
If there's no trials, you become stagnated and your life becomes complacent and you become stuck and rigid right where you are.
Yes.
Trials come to move you out of that position of stagnation.
Yes.
Talk about some trials.
Trials come to make you seek after his word. The word of faith that builds that faith shield. So when we put this down, we'll realize something happens and we have to go back and pick it up. Because our shield of faith is developed through us depending on the word of faith. Amen. So write down James 1 and 2. It says, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, when you face trials of many kind. This is the verse I want us to star and put some flowers by.
Put some flowers by that one.
But two.
But we can't take flowers to a grave that ain't got nobody in it.
Right.
There's an obedience statement that's about to proceed where you're about to put those flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It says, consider it all joy.
All joy.
When?
My brothers and sisters, when you face the trials of many kinds.
We have not been acting like Christ while we've been going through.
We haven't been obedient.
We have not been applying obedience, and that's why we haven't been getting the results. And so we praise God when we come out. That's the wrong time to praise God because that's preparation for what you're about to go into.
Unless you had already caught revelation. Because see, some of us been under faith teaching for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And we shifted our mindset of woe is me when we go through and saying, no, not woe is me. Time to get closer to my creator by discovering what his word says about what I'm going through. So I think we got some that need to celebrate God. Come on, because we take joy. In opportunity, not the tribulation, but opportunities to seek his word on how to bring me out this tribulation. Hallelujah. You good now, babe?
Hey, I'm good.
Okay.
You can go now and go. We got that obedience statement.
We got the
right.
Obedience statement.
You see, because you can't celebrate in disobedience.
That's right. Consider it a joy. Verse 3 says, because you know. Don't nobody else have to know.
You know.
Long as you know. You ain't got to know why I'm going through what I'm going through. But we spend so much time, and I need to read this, trying to explain to people what we going through, why we going through. Because we want them to know why we're looking and feeling and acting the way we acting when we should be considering it a joy. They ought not even know we're going through nothing because we're still laughing and smiling. Because when I get off work today, I'm going to press my way in the midst of my workout schedule. I'm going to push my way even though I got to pick kids up from the daycare. I'm going to force my way even though I got to cook and clean and do everything. I got an opportunity and a reason
right now.
To push my way into the Word of God. So they ought not know you got all that going on. Anyway, sit down.
We
got
to stop complaining.
You know.
We got to stop complaining.
We do, babe. Consider it a joy.
If we take that obedience statement, mm-hmm. we wouldn't complain mm-hmm. with as much stuff that we're complaining about.
Amen.
I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about us.
Amen.
You understand? I'm not even talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to us. We wouldn't even complain when we go through stuff and have to face ordeals or trials if we were obedient to this statement.
Jesus.
So let me just say this to you. I'm not talking to you this
Lord
morning.
Jesus,
I'm talking
us.
To me right now.
Yes,
amen.
Help me.
And so if you don't, if you can't praise God for your disobedience.
Yes. 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 How many of us going to do better now?
I'm going to be transparent with you. Praise him for my disobedience because I'm going to do better. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to do better.
It flows from the head down.
Come on,
so
come
y'all
on.
Ought to appreciate that. It says, because you know, that's where
you
I
know.
Went off on right there. You know that the testing of your faith, what does it do? It produces perseverance. Let perseverance, somebody shout perseverance.
Perseverance.
Finish. Somebody want to be finished? Finishing anointing? It says, let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Write down perseverance. And then write down the teacher's definition. Continued effort. And we can stop there. But there's more. Perseverance. What is it developing in us? Perseverance. Continued effort to do or achieve, come on, despite difficulties, failures, or opposition. Did y'all write that teacher's definition down? Because that wasn't the Webster's definition. That was the fivefold ministry gift teacher's definition. Perseverance. Why do we give up so fast? Because we ignore the fact that the tribulation and the trial is coming to, come on, enhance or produce perseverance. So we keep giving up one thing after another thing and not allowing our perseverance, the continued effort, I'm going to give it to you one more time, to do or achieve despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Amen? So I believe last week Elder Lawrence said that faith-filled people consider obstacles as opportunities.
That's right.
So even though they say no, thank you for saying no, because now I know I'm going to get in his word, my perseverance, I'm going to press my way, I'm going to continue. Let me say this, when they say no, perseverance don't tell you to stop. Delay does not mean denied when you persevere. Amen?
That's right.
So then write down Job 23:10. Because we're talking about these trials and tribulations. And how many of you know none of us have gone through as much as Job? Do you know the story of Job? Because I'm not going to give it to you from the pulpit, but do go back home and read. Really, you read the first couple chapters and read the last couple chapters, and you'll see his beginning and his end. Okay? Job was wise enough to know that once God finished trying him, he was going to come forth as pure gold. That's what Job 23:10 says. Okay, once he finished trying me, I know I'm going to come forth as pure gold. So God allowed the enemy to take everything Job had, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his servants, his camels, his sons, his daughters, and then had the nerve to say, now I'm going to allow you to touch his body and bring painful sores, look, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet.
That's That's right.
And it was so bad that his wife looks at him and says, "Are you still holding on?" Somebody say, "Perseverance, baby. Perseverance won't cause me to throw in the towel and give up so quick and easy." Come on. So she said, "Are you still?" So sometimes it's the one you least expect that's closest to you, that's supposed to be bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, who will question your faith.
Come on.
That friend and that co-worker, those kids, come on. So she says, "Just curse God and die." But Job knew, when he's finished with me, baby, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. Write down Job 42 and 10, because the end of the story is, after he was tried, I mean, he took everything. God allowed the enemy to take everything. Job 42 and 10, just make these notes. The Lord made Job prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. How many of you ready to tap into double? Come on, what they used to say back in the old day, double for your trouble. Come on, sometimes you have to find value in some of those statements once you understand the word, the context of the word. Come on, double for your trouble means that he didn't curse God. He persevered and said, "I'm not going to give up." But he knew. He knew for himself, when God finished with me, when he finished this trial and he ended this tribulation that I'm going through, baby, I'm going to shine as pure gold. Hallelujah.
Look at this. How do I want to say it? Your faith, catch this, your faith is appraised through the trials of life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In order for your house to get a higher appraisal.
Yes.
It has to have been lived in. And they look for the improvements that you made on the house since you purchased it.
Wow.
So when the appraisal shows up, he asks, "Wow. Have you made any modifications or renovations?"
Wow.
"Have you done any improvements to this house? Have you painted anything? Have you built anything? Have you cleaned anything? Have you demolished anything? Did you put in new soil,
new sod, new turf?
What have you done to this project since you had it?" Because that's going to dictate whether it's worth the same value, a lower value, or whether it has appreciated in value. Your faith appraised for a greater value when you go through stuff in life, because what you go through, it is the modifications.
Yes, it is.
What you go through in life is God modifying some things, and he's not modifying them to depreciate you.
Come on.
He's not modifying those things to devalue you. He's making modifications in your life to cause you to be of greater worth or of greater value.
Yes.
So when you go through stuff, all God is saying to you in your life is, I'm increasing you.
Yes.
I'm increasing you. I'm increasing your worth. I'm increasing your value.
Yes.
I'm increasing your capacity.
Yes.
I'm increasing your understanding.
Yes.
I'm increasing your tenacity.
Yes.
I'm increasing your faith. I'm increasing your ability to confront situations and not be moved. How many feel appreciated this morning?
Yes, Lord.
Come on and give God a praise right
Amen.
There. Look at this text. I think we close right here.
Yes.
Look at this text in Psalm 66. Psalm 66.
Yes.
Verse 10 through 12, it says, "For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us." Somebody you sitting in here with me right now thinking the devil keep trying me. He getting on my last nerve. If you get out the devil's house, he'll get out of your house. You keep giving him more permission and access than he have to your life.
Yes.
The only way the devil can touch you is the same way he touched Job.
Yep.
God has to give him permission.
Permission.
God asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Yes.
Do you realize when you live right, God puts you on display, not in the church, but in front of hell's gates?
Yes, yes. Yes, sir.
God takes your right living. Mm-hmm. Come here, Elder Wilson, real quick. Pastor Vicky, read that Psalm 66 for me.
Amen.
But God takes you. He takes you in your righteous state. He builds you up so that you can have confidence in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a relationship with him. You can ask what you will, the Bible says, and it shall be done.
Yes.
And then after he gets you to that point, he says, now I'm not going to answer you. Because I've shown you who I am in your life, and I brought you to a place of maturity, and you've heard the word, and you've profited and have great value. And so now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you from being up. Because you see, you think we're going down right now, right? But the kingdom is upside down.
Upside
he
down.
Was bringing you down when he brought you up there because he was working you out of you. And now he got himself in you and he brings you back up. And he stands you in front of heaven, in front of hell, because hell is beneath you. And he puts you there and said, look down on hell and see who they got down there. And tell the enemy to send out his best. Tell him to walk out his best.
Yes.
Whoever he got, whatever he has,
whatever.
Tell him to bring his best, because God has sent me.
Woo.
God has sent me anointed and prepared
Jesus.
To handle whatever you got. Finish
Jesus.
Reading that text. Thank you, Elder. Thank you, Elder.
For you, O God, have proved me. You have tried me as silver.
Uh-huh.
You brought us into the net.
Uh-huh.
You laid affliction upon our loins.
Who did all this?
God did. You have caused men to ride over our head and we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place.
We can stop right there, amen. You ought to jump on your feet and give him a praise. Somebody in here been going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody in here feel like you've been stuck in a place. Somebody didn't really understand what was taking place in your life. I don't know who you are, but just run on up here to this altar this morning. We just want to stand with you, amen. We want to stand with you on a declaration of faith.
Yes. Whoever you